This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, how are you? Happy Christmas, my loves. It is the last Tuesday of the month, which means I am Jennifer, and this is the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Now, I had an exciting show recapping my favourite Bi-plus stories of the year, but then I got invited to an actual Christmas dinner. So this is pre-recorded, and I'm going to play you last year's Boxing Day show, which I give to you with all of my love and all of the best wishes that you are having a good festive season, whatever that means for you. And this month, you get bonus pipes. I will be back next Tuesday, that's New Year's Day, to take you through my favourite new buys of the year. But for now, happy Christmas.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nation, and we acknowledge the past, present and future elders of the people of this land, especially the brother boys and sister girls of the Indigenous LGBTQIA community. Tonight's show is for anyone who didn't manage to come out to their family this Christmas. Here is my list of bisexual characters who made it past the gatekeepers, who aren't always noticed by their audiences, but who speak to us, who we celebrate, because I want you to know that it doesn't matter if you've come out in increments since you were 12, or if you've only told it to yourself in the mirror your whole life. I don't even care if you can't tell your own reflection. You are loved, you exist, you are real. Keep breathing.
Again today.
the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I am Jennifer, and tonight we are talking about those bisexuals who made it past the gatekeepers, who we recognise, who may not be recognised by the monosexuals in the world, and we love them for coding to us when we need them most.
Bisexual people face discrimination from both LGBTI communities and mainstream society through biophobia and homophobia. The Melbourne Bisexual Network is a professional advocacy group that offers information, resources and training. We can help you and your workplace understand the needs of bisexual, pansexual and multigender attracted people and implement inclusive practices. Melbourne Bisexual Network strives to improve well-being and health outcomes for bisexual people in Melbourne, Victoria. To find out more or to join the network, go to melbournebisexualnetwork.com. A community service message.
Frank Ocean. Am I right? There's been a lot of talk about Frank Ocean's sexuality since he released Chanel. And the song is such a beautiful declaration of queerness that it's really not all that surprising, is it? But here's the thing. Frank Ocean has been dropping queer themes into his storytelling for a while now. I'm talking before the Tumblr letter, before anyone started asking. So, and I want to be clear, I am not sitting here suggesting that Frank Ocean is the bisexual saviour you've been waiting for. He is deliberately ambiguous when talking about his own sexuality. He's not interested in claiming any name for his sexuality, but he does tell stories well. And he has been telling stories about himself for quite a while now. So, here's my list of highlights. In 2011, he released Nostalgia Ultra with the track We All Try on it, including his support of marriage equality. So, yeah, gentle beginnings, baby steps. And we've got the lyric, I believe that marriage isn't between a man and woman, but between love and love. And I believe when you say that you've lost all faith, but you must... And I believe you when you say that you've lost all faith, but you must believe in something. But lots of people support marriage equality, right? You know, even Australia has managed it. So it's not surprising for somebody to be an ally, surely. Yeah, it's pretty gentle. Could be forgiven for not recognising. But then in 2012, again before his Tumblr letter, out came Channel Orange with the lead single, Thinking About You. And the lyric, my eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. I've been thinking about you. Now, to me, that is a beautiful use of vernacular English to create a double meaning. Yeah, sure, you could listen and think he's saying boy as an exclamation, like, oh, boy. But what if he is speaking to a boy and just telling his truth? Wouldn't that be something now? So apparently, Frank Ocean had planned to publish lyric notes with the release of Channel Orange that would talk about his lyrics. Of course, what happened instead is the internet's got a bit excited and filled up with speculation. So he published his now famous letter on Tumblr. And I'm not going to read you a little bit of it. Just go on and read the whole thing. It's quite sweet. Now, that letter had been written a year before. So this isn't something that he'd only just started contemplating. And then, the night that the album is finally released, Frank is on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and cracks out Bad Religion with the lyric, this unrequited love to me, it's nothing but a one-man cult and cyanide in my styrofoam cup. I can never make him love me, never make him love me. So, is he talking about actual religion and the way in which some people feel stifled by it? Perhaps. Is he referring to the pain of loving someone so hard you can't break it off when they don't want you back? Oh, yes, indeed, he is. Is he deliberately discussing religion and queerness at the same time as a reflection of the way in which the church of his birth can often reject LGBTQI people? You betcha. And when Blonde came out, it was chock full of queer lyrics. I'll leave you to explore it in full, but we'll say that his singing about a blind date in Good Guy is spot on. Which brings us to Chanel. With the opening, my guy pretty like a girl, and he got fight stories to tell. I see both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. Just like the Chanel symbol, and just like all of us, Frank Ocean looks both ways. Yes, yes. We see in every direction. And sure, the binary view of his lyric there, the binary view of gender is problematic. But as Selena Sanfelice writes for DJ Booth, Frank isn't just stating his bisexuality, he's making it fashionable. Being bisexual is like being fucking Chanel. We've watched Frank blossom from someone who was lost and distressed, only sharing a few experiences, into a Kanye-confident, sexually empowered artist. For bisexual listeners, this means hearing lyrics like My Guy Pretty Like a Girl and I See on Both Sides Like Chanel and being able to proudly sing along and assert themselves with the same bravado. They don't need to hide behind hopeless love or I can't help how I was born excuses. Bisexuality is now high fashion. Now, I got problems with calling bisexuality fashionable, but isn't it just a bit exciting? Yeah, you know, you could buy those Chanel earrings with the C's that face both ways, or you could just come out. Whatevs. And Frank Ocean's victory, I think, is that he managed to sing his own truth for years. He achieved success while speaking openly about his sexuality. Openly, if you were willing and able to see it, of course. And sometimes it's important for us to see people like us, even if they can't talk in detail yet. Of course, talking about it openly is the ultimate goal, until such time as we don't need to talk about it because it makes no difference. But we're not quite there yet. So here's Frank Ocean with Chanel.
Like a girl, and he got five stories to tell. I see both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. Swimming laps through pool water, eating like I'm underworld. Had my tattoos in Shibuya. Police think I'm of the underworld. 12 treat a nigga like he 12. How you looking up to me and talking down? Can't you see I am the big man? God level, I am the I am. Now film it with the drone cam and the pink like Killer Cam.
When I zoom on that stick, no way.
I'm so close, I'm on that kill.
Controller on your lower back, yeah, that's the good. Dick will roll the eyes back in the skull.
Rollin' when you ride, poppin'. Rollin' when you ride, ride to ride. Top one, straight actin'. Turned up like some dirty plastic. God, 2016 brought some discs. 2017 ideas, playing off of Walgreens. This a cult, not a click on the net. With a cup and a cup, activist. That's a double edge, it's a knife. And I don't like to fight till I'm fighting.
Fighting.
Revenge in the air makes my lungs sick. Chopper in the sky like a gun trick.
Yeah.
Clips on clips like Mike.
Lolo.
It's really all. See both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. It's really you on my mind. It's really you on my mind. It's really you. It's really you. My mind.
Need both sides of the 12. Need both sides of the L. Free smoke rings in they hell. Sleet snow grind for the well. Whole team diamonds is real. Show them how to shine by themselves. You need a cosign for your hell. I need that bitch to grind on my belt. I know you need to drive for my belt. I know you seen it drive in itself. No math like on the ride cause it's stale. But it's stale. I see both sides like Chanel. I see both sides like Chanel.
My pocket's snug. They can't hold my 7. They ban my Visa. My Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapsed. Rubber band, a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I'm in my baby boy, amazing the cash online unknown. I'm in my baby boy, blazing the dash, got money at home.
They can't hold my 7, they ban my Visa, my Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapsed. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I mean my baby boy, amazing the cash online unknown. I mean my baby boy, blazing the dash, got money at home.
It's 9:15. You're with Jennifer on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass. And this is Joy 94.9. Tonight, we are celebrating the bisexuals that got past the gatekeepers. I am often surprised to hear when people don't see the queerness in characters that, to me, wear their status like slaves. Not on their sleeves, the entire status is covering their arms from sunburn and other potential threats. At the top of that list is Lestat from Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles. First of all, vampires are queer as hell. I mean, you get the odd straighty 180 like Dracula, who insists on feeding only on cis women, but, you know, Dracula's got his own problems. But the symbolism of sinking fangs into someone and sharing bodily fluids cannot be ignored. In Interview with the Vampire, we have a slight rewriting of the vampire rules. Anne Rice's vampires do not spread their vampirism to everyone they feed on. Instead, the creation of a new vampire is a deliberate act. Lestat chooses Louis to be his life partner. And that's a life that starts an eternity, but we'll get to that. We get our first comparison of the transformation into vampire with sex 12 pages into the novel. Count them, 12! The interviewer asks Louis what it's like to be transformed, and Louis replies, and I quote, "I can't tell you exactly, any more than I could tell you exactly what is the experience of sex if you have never had it. Not eating, not swimming, not anything else, not mango smoothies, sex." That's the comparison he chooses. Another 12 pages further on, Louis tells the story of his first night as a vampire. "I had no choice," he says. "I begged Lestat to let me stay in the closet, but he laughed, astonished." You see why I can't believe anyone could read the first chapter alone and not be convinced? As the novel goes on, Lestat shows an equal desire to feed on attractive men and women. His bloodlust and his sexual lust is broad and wide-reaching. Now, when it came time to create the movie version of the book, Anne Rice wrote the screenplay herself. Neil Jordan, whose amazing film The Crying Game had come out only 2 years prior, was on board to direct. This movie was going to be queer as all get out. Then Tom Cruise was attached to play Lestat. Anne Rice was so horrified by this that she took out a full page ad in Variety magazine to express her displeasure with the casting. There were rumours swirling around everywhere that Cruise had insisted on some rewrites to make sure his Lestat wouldn't be too gay. You know, because playing a queer character does so much more damage to your reputation than playing a supernatural serial killer. Come on, man. So everyone was pretty sure that the film would be a much watered down version of the novel. And they were almost right. For its time, and considering it had two certifiable Hollywood stars in it and had major funding and distribution, the film is pretty damned queer. The fact... Yeah, damned. See what I did there, Claire? Yeah? The fact is, you can't escape the fact that Lestat chose Louis. Not a woman... Not even an interesting man with whom he had a lot in common and whose taste for hijinks matched his own. Nope. Louis is not into hijinks, low jinx, or any jinx in between. He hates killing. Lestat is an enthusiastic hunter with a voracious appetite. They constantly irritate each other. Lestat saw a hot young man and decided to keep him. That's it. So let's suggest perhaps he is bisexual but leans towards homoromantic maybe. But really, when you see the physical perfection of people on whom he preys and the diversity of gender and cultural background, you know that man is pan. Now, the creation of vampires in this film brings some big issues with informed consent. Nobody really knows what they're signing up for. Oh, except maybe Madeline, the doll maker, that the child vampire Claudia finds and entices to join the family. But that's a whole other plot line, and, you know. But for Lestat, for Louis and certainly for Claudia, consent is not informed or just non-existent. That aside, there is no denying that this film is super queer. Not as overt as the book, perhaps, but one must take into account how well Anne Rice lends her hand to writing softcore erotica into her stories. Rice started a new wave of vampires as well, who are closer to human than monster, whose personalities are individual, flawed, and often tormented. So not only is she delivering us this cast of glorious queerness, she's making us sympathise and empathise with them. And it got through Hollywood. It had major backing and distribution. Every teenage girl I know went to see it, usually at the cinema, sometimes twice, then read it if they hadn't read it already, then read all of the other vampire books, then read everything else Anne Rice had ever put out. It was a glorious cacophony of half-written but really very obvious queer storylines. And if Tom Cruise can't rinse the queer out of a character, you know that's some good gatekeeper work. So brava, Anne Rice. Bravo, Neil Jordan. And three cheers for Lestat. You are a murderous, selfish narcissist with nobody's interests but your own. And you let us see a bisexual man on some very big screens without ever getting into trouble for it. Fangs out. You're on Joy 94.9. This is the representation hour for Triple Bypass. I'm Jennifer, and here's Goldfrapp. Hi there. You're on Joy 94.9. I'm Jennifer, and this is the representation hour for Triple Bypass. It's 9:30, and we just heard the divine Shay Diamond with I'd Like to Change the World. On to Adventure Time. Anyone with an eye for queer coding could be forgiven for assuming Marceline the Vampire Queen is bisexual straight out of the gate. That undercut, am I right? The first time we see Marceline explicitly in a relationship is in A Memory of a Memory. That's the episode name. When her ex-boyfriend Ash, who is a wizard, tricks Finn and Jake into stealing Marcy's memory of the breakup. But we see her attraction for Princess Bubblegum, renowned prince scientist and ruler of the Candy Kingdom, from very early on. I defy you to watch Marceline sing I'm Just Your Problem and not see her furious, frustrated love for Princess Bubblegum. If you watch it back a second time and focus on PB's face, you know it's not a one-way street. In 2014, at a book signing with Olivia Olson, who is the voice of Marceline, and incidentally was also the little kid's love interest in the Christmas abomination that is Love Actually, confirmed that Marceline and Princess Bubblegum were previously in a relationship. She apparently told the crowd that Pendleton Ward, who created the show and has an awesome name, had told her that they used to be a couple. So there you go. It's canon. Of course, there's a lot of speculation on the interwebs about both characters being gay, but I am claiming at least Marceline for us, a canonically queer cartoon character. It's wonderful. What an age we live in. Now, if you are still not convinced, watch the episode Sky Witch. Princess Bubblegum sleeps in a T-shirt that Marceline gave her. I don't know how many people sleep in their friends' old T-shirts, but I know a lot of people who sleep in their partner's T-shirts. And when PB goes and sniffs that T-shirt, it's not a gentle sniff. She's not checking to see if it's clean. She is drinking in the essence of her lover. Super queer. What I particularly love about these two becoming canonically bisexual is that they are such well-developed characters. Neither is perfect or evil. Princess Bubblegum regularly sacrifices her own needs for the responsibility of running a kingdom. Marceline loves fun and adventure but has to deal with the psychological damage caused by being abandoned as a child. Both of them love their friends and want to be the best people they can be. They're just people. Of course, in order that the show can be sold to a variety of markets, their sexuality has to be alluded to and not overt, but it's there. They are queer as all get out, and nobody is apologising for it. What do you think? Do Marcy and Peebles get your heart racing? Is it a good thing to include all kinds of relationships in kids' TV? Should we be accepting subtlety in the hopes of more marketing, more markets seeing it? Let me know. Email onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. And a big love and hug to Jade, who has emailed in some love and hugs for me and Claire. Jade, I'm going to pass them on to Ruby, who's also in the studio with us tonight. She says she's enjoying the thoughtful analysis. Thanks. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, here's Marceline the Vampire Queen's moment of glorious queer heartbreak, recorded by the Marcus Hedges Trend Orchestra, which I recommend you check out if you are into cartoons, video games and pop culture. This is I'm Not Your Problem. You're with Jennifer on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
I'm just your problem. I'm just your problem. La-da-da-da-da. I'm gonna bury you in the ground. La-da-da-da-da. I'm gonna bury you with my sound. Gonna drink the red from your pretty pink face.
you like perfect, like all your loyal subjects do. Sorry, made of sugar, mine is good enough for you. Is that why you always avoid me? It must be such an inconvenience to you. I'm just your problem. I'm just your problem. Have to justify what I do, and now I shouldn't have to prove anything to you. I'm sorry that I exist. I forget what landed me on your blacklist. And now I shouldn't have to be the one who makes up with you. So why do I want you? Why do I bury you in the ground and drink the blood from your face. Ground. La da 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 da. I'm gonna bury you with my sound.
Relationship and family violence is often invisible in the LGBTI community. It's time we all said enough is enough.
If you or someone you know is using abusive or controlling behaviour, Thorn Harbour Health can help. Thorn Harbour Health have programs that can help individuals stop intimidating and controlling their partner.
You have the choice to get support and start behaving more safely and respectfully towards those you love. They also have services available to people experiencing relationship violence. Call them now, 9865-6700.
Or go to thornharbour.org.
A community message supported by Joy.
Is there someone you're grateful to? Submit an artwork to Midsummer Festival as a gift of gratitude in honour of someone special. Gifts will be exhibited at the Abbotsford Convent throughout Midsummer Festival 2019. Submissions close January 11. Find out more about queer economies at midsummer.org.au. This community service announcement supported by Joy.
Spoken, I know all the action by heart.
Missy Higgins and Amanda Palmer pouring velvet into your ears with Before Too Long. You are listening to the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Jennifer. It's 20 to 10 and we have another message. Love Peebles and Marcy. Love how that queerness helped inspire Steven Universe, which is overt as all hell. I promise Steven Universe is on the list. I promise. But tonight we are going to finish up with Ghostbusters. The first movie in a long time to fill my queer little heart with joy. How they managed to fit so much queer coding into a movie and still get funding and distribution by major studios, I do not know. But bless their tiny bow ties and paint-stained overalls for doing so. First up, how great was it to see a movie about smart, funny women that didn't centre around a love story? I was in a cinema, the first time I saw it at the cinema, that was about half adult, half kids when I saw it, and I swear to you, the adults were the ones making all the noise, and those adults were mostly women. If you haven't read Kayla Kumari's piece for Auto Straddle about watching the film with a queer gaze, get onto that. It's delightful. Seriously, skip past the title that claims all the characters are gay and get giggling. Of course, Kayla swoons, as the entire world seemed to do, over Kate McKinnon's exquisite engineer, Gillian Holtzman. She's everything I want to be when I grow up and more. But apart from a few scenes in the director's cut that suggests Holtzman might have some same-sex attraction, I think we can probably accept that Holtzman is all ladies all the time. You know. You try saying no to those salty parabolas. Tonight, it's Erin Gilbert that I want to talk about. With all of the queer librarian coding you could want, down to sensible shoes and little bow ties, she is a picture of self-conscious, easily startled, often slimed bisexuality. Her blush and confusion when Holtzman flirts with her is exquisite. And yes, I know Holtzman seems to flirt with all of the women, but go back and look at the film. She really doesn't. She flirts with three women, the Ghostbusters, all of whom are queer as folk. If she's around straight women, she's just confused. No queer woman wants to waste time hitting on a straight girl. It just ruins dinner parties and leaves everyone feeling frustrated. Eyes down, focus on the entree. But Holtzman is there for Erin Gilbert. Oh, yes, indeed. And Erin isn't walking away either. Ooh, no siree. But Jennifer, I hear you cry. What about what's his name? You know, the big blonde one, the possessed thingamajibbit. I think you mean Chris Hemsworth character. It's okay, I can't really remember his name either. It's Kevin. Yes, Kevin causes Erin to go weak at the knees and do all sorts of gross things like trying to close dance with an employee and drinking coffee that he's spat into a cup. But her reactions to Holtzman are so similar to her reactions to Kevin. It's almost as though she is caught between two examples of physical perfection and can't figure out what to do with herself. I wonder what might cause that. Of course, there's also the obvious relationship that she and Abby had. I think it probably started in high school and by college was a full-blown relationship. Welcome to my headcanon. I dare say that they both wore checked shirts in those days. Definitely listened to Hole. We had a very coy half admission of Holtzman's queerness from director Paul Feig. But I want more. I want a flashback of Erin and Abby in college. I want Holtzman and Patty moving in together and arguing over where the pasta maker goes. I want this all to stay secondary and not central to the story. I want us to see that queer relationships do not have to be central and can be more than plot devices. They can just be part of life. But in the meantime, I will celebrate this bit of subversively queer cinema with every ounce of my being. So what do you think? Are all of the Ghostbusters queer? Or am I so desperate for unicorns that I'm just seeing them in shadows now? You're with Jennifer. This is the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And here's Dusty Springfield.
Tonight, all the love that's here tonight, oh, 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 oh. It's just you and I. weather.
Especially if they hollow, especially when they empty and desperate search for fulfillment. You the only person alive who holds the key to your healing. So you take it and you run with it and keep going even when your sun's hidden. Because the time we spend in darkness when the rain comes is where we often find the light soon as the pain's done. There ain't material things in the world that can change the fact that you feel alone. Despite the fact that it gets hard, you take it all and you still go. Take the sun and you still grow. Lose the light and you still glow. I've been there, I'm still here, and I know how you feel, so.
Can't do anything that you're about to.
We just heard Angel Hayes with Battle Cry, and before that, Dusty Springfield with Peace of My Heart, made famous by Janis Joplin, also queer, but written by Irma Franklin, as in Aretha Franklin's sister. I don't know if she was queer, but she wrote a good song. Ruby's certain. Anyone who sings Peace of My Heart must be queer. You've heard it here first. And as the second lieutenant of Queer Authority, you've got to listen to Ruby. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm Jennifer. This has been the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. It has been just lovely to spend some time contemplating the characters who make it through the gatekeepers, the ones that sometimes only we see, but that become part of our storytelling canon. So here's to those of us who will give a little nod as we pass each other on the street. Thanks for being here. Have a gorgeous festive season. Next up is Jason with Local Roots. And to get us there, here's Alan Cumming. Good night.
You, everywhere, you, in every dream I dream, there's a specter of you, years have gone by, it's true, still my heart rushes to all my memories of you. You, suddenly you, after the chill I'm you, comes the fire of you. Capturing the past, well, I must admit, I've dreamed of this, and here we are at last. How could I behave as though we'd never met? Oh no, my dear, please rest assured, I never did forget you. You, everywhere, you, in every dream I dream, there's a specter of you. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.